Welcome to the New Zealand Tech Podcast, presented by Paul Spain and Anne Guest.
Welcome along to the New Zealand Tech Podcast. This is episode 169. I'm Paul Spain, and with me is our super special guest of the week,
Di Henwood. Thank you very much. It's great to be back, Paul.
I know. It's been a bit too long, actually, since we've sat down and chit-chatted about tech and gadgetry and the like.
Oh, the seasons have changed. The phones I'm carrying have changed again. I remember last time we were talking a lot about phones and so forth. I believe I was on the S4 and the iPhone 5 at the time. I've now upgraded all. I'm on the Note 3, the Nexus 5, and the 5S, iPhone 5S.
So out of those, what's your favourite?
Well,
or is it impossible to tell them?
For me, what always drags me back to the iPhone is iMessage and AirPlay. To be honest, I've got a young baby, so being able to fling some YouTube clip to... I've got two Apple TVs in the house. I mean, I've obviously bought into the ecosystem. But then because being a Gmail user, the Nexus 5, I just quite like the feel of it. It's got a nice, nice feel. And the Note 3, I really found the benefits of... some of the Samsung features, which I have maybe derided in the past. I was down at TEDx in Christchurch. I was doing a talk there, and I did my talk, and then I had to do a job at the end of the day. I had to wrap up everyone's speech.
That's not an easy thing to do on a big day like that.
No, because also everyone, the idea of TED is you're delivering so much information in 5 to 10 minutes, right? And little features like being able to just look people up on the internet, circle clippings and put them in a scrapbook, and having the extra screen real estate of the Note 3 to sort of really hammer away when you're just standing side of stage, because you can't really get your whole kit out.
No, but having a tablet in your pocket, which is effectively, you know, what these larger phones are, is pretty handy.
Yeah, and because I'm into use Google Drive and Google Docs and that, so it has a natural interface with that far better than the iPhone, like the loading time and so forth. So I really found the benefit of that, and all it comes down to is I need to carry a lot of gadgets. No, there is no winner. There is no winner. If there's people out there, your fanboys on either side, give up. There's no winner. Every device services different ecosystems. And I like to have a foot in sort of a few camps. I find that Google's generally pretty good at access, like they make beautiful iOS apps.
Mm.
Granted, because of a few Apple sort of a bit closed, it makes it a bit harder for them to run properly in the background. Like, this is a big letdown I've found of iOS 7. There was this big promise of notifications between devices that would clear. So if you cleared notifications on your iPad, they'd disappear on your iPhone. That hasn't happened. And background apps working seamlessly. That hasn't happened for me. Gmail won't load in the background, so when I open it, my emails are there, which it's little things like that they promised would be a big change, but
yeah, and really sometimes it might be an interpretation of what you expect that promise to be, as opposed to what they've actually delivered and implemented.
Yeah, and I think I what I took away from it was whenever iOS 7 was talked about by Apple, they managed to talk about the whole of iOS 7 in about 5 to 6 minutes, like they very much glossed over it.
Sure.
So it did leave you assuming the best, maybe.
Now, something I've had some interesting experiences recently is with navigation software. And I had I had a particular instance visiting some friends in Melbourne, a friend who's a broadcaster over there. And I worked out my time to get to the airport, and I thought, yeah, I'll allow a little bit of extra time, have my rental car and so on. And in this case, I was using the Hear Drive app, which is the Nokia one.
Yeah.
And I sort of chop and change depending on what device I'm on. But, you know, one thing with that, it's very good at being able to download lots of maps for wherever you are in the world. But it also brings up, supposedly, the live traffic info. So here was me thinking, oh, yeah, this can tell me about the traffic, so I'll be fine. 37-minute journey. Hey, it's going to be 49 minutes today because of the traffic. So I followed its instructions, and an hour later, yeah. I was still less than a K from the house and queuing to get onto the motorway.
Wow.
So I'm sort of learning that sometimes the technology doesn't you know quite deliver as you might like it to. And yeah, I'm spending more time now juggling between them, and obviously we've got Waze now, which is, well, it's been around for a long time, but now a Google product, so we're expecting maybe a bit more development to
go
into
that. Well,
they
have integrated Waze into Google now. The traffic time is integrated into it. And I was about,
so is that drawn from Waze? So is that what you're seeing within Google Maps?
Now you see the traffic time changes and the route changes.
Yeah.
And because I've been in this position as well, like being a television comedian, I gig in places like Morrinsville, for instance. Quite
you must
often
have real traffic jams in some of those locations. Yeah, like, well, how long will it take me to get from the local motel to City Hall in Morrinsville?
Oh, I'm next door to it. No, but like, for instance, I'll be often pushing it back, and like a gig for me will be at 8 o'clock. So if I'm heading down to Hamilton from Auckland, that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Right. So I had this sort of folder of various apps. The Auckland Traffic Cam app is awesome. It sort of gives you all the different points. I thought I'll try data points. I'm very untrustworthy when it comes to anyone telling me what the traffic conditions are.
Well,
like,
if it's going to completely mess up a gig for you, you've got to make sure you're there.
Yeah, exactly. And I get a bit paranoid about time, so I like to look at it. And I've found over the last few journeys, I use both I'll use Apple Maps and then Google just to see which routes. Apple hasn't got to grips with New Zealand very well in terms of what is the fastest route.
No, in fact, if you'd come to the office today using your Apple Maps, you would have found an illegal turn across a traffic island that's been at the top of our street for about 7, 8, maybe even 10 years now.
Yeah,
Apple still doesn't actually know that it exists.
I know, but the Google, I must say, nailed it the last couple of times in terms of where the traffic is, in terms of adjusting routes, and in terms of their timing was impeccable. So I think Google really is, I think the products that they want to own, like search, maps, and email, they obviously put a lot into the back end of, because they do work pretty seamlessly. I mean, I see people like with Gmail, people throwing their hands up in the air, it went down for 15 minutes. What about the rest of your software? How much does it crash? How much does the operating system on your computer crash? Like 15 minutes once a year is nothing.
Yeah, and if it is just, you know, once a year and you're not even using it, which, you know, it's often the case for people, then you wouldn't know.
And like the power in my house goes out for longer than that once a year. So, I mean, I think they do quite a good job.
Well, if you've paid your bill on time.
Oh, is that their shit? Yeah. I knew there was something. Yeah. It's because they're sending it to me in a paper form. I don't know what to do with it.
All right. So, maps, lots of choices. But jumping to a couple of bits of sort of local related news. Now we bagged Vodafone here a little bit on the show a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, don't bring me into this, mate. We. I've got nothing to do with this.
The royal we. Those of us that were on that week. The thing that I guess upset me was they'd moved from this double your data type thing. You pay an extra $30 if you go over your limit, $30, and you get, you know, twice as much data, which seemed good value.
Yeah.
But they moved to a dollar a gig for the overage, which, hey, on a 250 gig plan, paying an extra $250 if you want that much extra data. Good news over the last couple of days, they've fixed that. Whether from listening to NZ Tech podcast or whether that they just, you know, smart, planning ahead. But they have just bumped that plan from 250 gigs to 500 gigs for the same price, which I thought was
that's a good swag.
Is quite good.
Because to be honest, like I can remember a few years ago, you know, 250 gigs, you'd have the castle moment. You go, tell him he's dreaming. I'll never get through 250 gigs. But I mean, once you've done one update for an Xbox One game, there's about 720 gigs. Like, when the Xbox One came out, night.
And you got updates to pull down, and then so you want to pull
get home, all excited, plugged it in. I'm a day before my cap, right? I'm an avid Netflix user. I've sort of got the workaround VPN going, so I'm hammering through a lot of data. I think, oh, here we go. It's midnight, I'm knackered. I'm gonna plug in my Xbox. So just to, you know, when you get an Xbox, don't expect to be playing games when you get it. Like your first session is setting it up,
getting those.
So I get downloads. All the downloads going.
Yeah.
Microsoft been being kind enough to give me a few download codes, so put those in.
Yeah.
Then I was a bit dazed and confused. I didn't quite see what I'd set up, how much I'd set up. I'd set up 37 gigs to download. And I don't know the back end of how this works. Like, for instance, when you download from iTunes, you get very quick download speeds. Mm, mm. And with the Xbox, you get very reasonable download speeds.
Yeah, they're generally very snappy. I mean, you think, oh, this is going to take forever. And actually, they move through them pretty quick, right?
So I hammered through 37 gigs in about I'd say 24 hours.
Yep.
And I hadn't really processed it. Then I got my bill and went, oh, shivers. Slightly gone over my cap. My cap. It is 250. It's pretty easy to get through.
Yeah. So who are you with, and how do they charge for that overage?
Well, I'm with Telecom at the moment, and I must say I've had great service with them. I've always and with them it was I got an add-on that put on, because to be honest, like I ended up only going 20 gigs over the actual, because I think I'm on 250, or I am on 250. Mm-hmm. And so I only went 20 gigs over, so it ended up only being about $20, which wasn't too bad. But
so they're doing a similar sort of thing where you're paying for the exact amount of usage. So I guess that's sort of the challenge, isn't it? If you're someone that actually is going close to your cap, you either want to get a much bigger cap so you can just, you know, chill out about it and not worry that you're going to get hit with a big bill, or unlimited plans.
Yeah, like with friends, I've been telling them, friends who aren't sort of tech savvy, I've just been saying, look, sit down every couple of months and look at your phone bill, look at your home phone and internet bill, and have a look around, because it's very easy to swap. And the market at the moment is so hot, competition-wise, both in mobile and in home broadband, that you can change and get an amazing deal. And to be honest, I don't know, I haven't actually seen speed tests between different ISPs, but it's pretty much of a muchness in New Zealand.
There is a good track sort of kept on that, and the sort of, I guess, the common trend that I've seen is the bigger players tend to be the most consistent, so the Telecoms and Vodafones, who have got deep pockets to always have enough sort of international bandwidth available, and whereas some of the other providers will vary in terms of what their speeds are. And you know, there have been a few issues over time with some of the smaller players who have had blocks of time where they've been really poor performers.
Yeah.
So it's worth having a look at that. I think there's TrueNet who keep a track on that. And in fact, GeekZone is a really good place to go online if you're wanting to make a decision. Go and have a look there, because there's a lot of discussion. You'll see, you know, what people are really pleased with, and you know where maybe they're tearing their hair out because they can't get support. So that's, you know, when you're looking at a connection for your home, that's a great place to sort of look and figure it out.
Paul, I've been chasing the mythical unicorn that is UFB, right? The rollout. Here's my rollout strategy. Hits my area, my whole area out in Avondale.
Yeah, you're
2019. Then maps get updated. The maps get updated. The heat happens. I put a hear a bit of word on Twitter from Chorus. It's hitting Avondale. It's hitting your street. I look at their map. The rollout stops one house away from me. I ring Chorus and go, look, mate, what will it take for you to roll it out one more house? Like, I'm talking, I'll pay you 10 grand cash money to your dude who shows up to do it. And they went, nah, no way, we can't do it. Your rollout's still 2019. Like, and honestly, we had a street party at our area. We had these sort of block parties. Like, don't think David Chappelle block party. Think more mid-40s white dudes block party. And I'm literally the only person who care about UFB. Right? And it's like, I've been waiting for this. And I think I'm going to have to leave my house and go and live somewhere else when the Chorus people are putting it in. So the point of this is, if anyone out there knows how to do a good old number 8 wire, sort of steal your mate's UFB, give us a, hit us up.
Well, it depends how well you get on with your neighbours, because there would definitely be some techniques for being able to do that. Oh, and now that your neighbour's heard your $10,000 offer, and if he hasn't, I'll be going to visit him and say, look, I'll give you $5,000.
Because I think you can buy a good Ethernet cable that's about 60 foot long for $12.95 on Trade Me at the moment.
Yeah, we need to sign a deal on this here and now. It's a frustrating thing, you know, just because of the size and the nature of the project they've got to do. You at some stage have to draw some draw some lines. But I've heard many people complain saying, oh, it's just at the end of my street. Why can't they do this? It's, you know, oh, it's just a few doors down, but they have right next door.
I completely understand, because, like, honestly, rolling it out is, especially in a country where no one's got deep pockets to, like, commit to doing the whole country at once. But when you go May 2014 versus May 2019, it's not like, sweet, well, we'll do you next year. It's like, we're doing this. We're taking off. Then we'll come back in 5 years.
Yep. Now, I mean, talking about providers to look at, we might jump in and sort of talk mobile in a minute, but in terms of getting your home internet connection, there is a new player, which we haven't actually mentioned before. They've been floating around for the last few months out of Telecom. They've got their Digital Ventures unit, which is, you know, designed to basically come up with all sorts of new products and services and things from a startup mentality. So they sit alongside or as a separate team, not the core of Telecom. And things that they've been working on have been, like the electronic payment that sits in your cell phone and the like. So when I tested a Telecom phone last year with this sort of integrated credit card that had come from their team, they've been involved in putting together a new ISP within Telecom. We've heard of Skinny, the new mobile side. They've got bigpipe.co.nz, which, you know, as its name suggests, you would expect to be able to get some fat speeds out of them. So they're just in the process of launching now. They have been floating around, say, for a few months, and anyone that I think joined up certainly in those first period, they didn't even bill them, and I'm not sure that they've started billing yet. So it's possible if you jumped on board with them now, you might still get, here they're saying it's free up until end of March. So if you're looking for somebody that you know sort of has a good back end, which Telecom obviously does in terms of international bandwidth, but you're looking for maybe an unlimited plan, something like that, they've got a $99 a month VDSL plan, which is unlimited.
But VDSL has to be available in your area.
Yep, though. And a $79 a month ADSL plan for naked ADSL. So anyway, just another option for people to
Naked ADSL be faster than Telecom standard?
I don't think it would be faster than their standard offering, but you're only paying $99 if you happen to use lots and lots and lots of data.
Yeah,
rather
true.
Than if you're paying, you mentioned, you know, that extra $20 in your month, that would have would have blown you right, you know, well past the $99 figure.
And do they have any T's and C's on throttle it?
There's always terms and conditions. I haven't gone through and read them, but anyway, just a new ISP people may want to have a look at and work out whether it's relevant.
Well, this falls back into that situation of always keep your eye out.
Exactly. So, talking sort of shopping around and looking for different providers. When we were talking earlier, Di, you were mentioning 2 degrees. Now, we mentioned a while ago about some of these new plans that they brought out that sort of allow you to start sharing your calls and your data and so on at some rather sharp pricing. We've seen this sort of thing happen in America and other markets, but this was sort of the first of it here. What's been your impression of that?
Well,
has it given you more data, or has it cut your costs? What's been the benefit?
I made the move to 2 degrees. They were, it was a sort of special case scenario. I've got a friend of mine who I used to live with, Reece Darby's, obviously very associated with them, and did their whole sort of campaign. I met a couple of cats from 2 degrees, and they paid my termination fee to leave my previous provider, and now I'm just on normal customer with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just paying my bill as normally, and I've set it up. I'm maybe a sort of an outlier case because I have not many people probably have three phones, a need for three phones that are all running data and so forth, and an iPad.
Well, there are quite a few tech enthusiasts that gadget lovers that carry a number of phones.
Exactly, because they don't fit the bill, or each one doesn't fit the bill perfectly. So I've got my wife, and she's got her whole plan, shares data. Basically, we're all on the share everything plan, and I've found it comes in about $80 cheaper. Granted, you don't have any 4G coverage, but I must say, even though I'm traveling a lot, I'm tethering a lot, 3G's pretty worthy. I mean, I'm still having no issues with streaming YouTube or whatever. But I've found their plans very nice. I've found their interface very user-friendly. They've updated their sort of apps on the phones. It's very easy to purchase extra gigs when you need to purchase a pack. And if anything, the reasons why I left Telecom, who I was with at the time, they've now sort of they're catching up. And the best thing to be at the moment, I feel, as a consumer, because the second 2 degrees starts making some inroads and actually taking customers, then these other people go, we've got to make it easy to buy three more gigs. And to be honest, I went on a big tour at the end of last year, and I knew I was having to shift a lot of data, and I just bought for $90 12 gigs, and just having that sitting there when you're going into a hotel and you get to pay $24.95 for 100 megs, which is barely an email signature. It's ridiculous. So I've had a good experience with them. Granted, their coverage might not be the strongest. It's the first time in a long while I've been onto Edge places.
Yeah,
to see the E up there.
2.5G or whatever it is, Edge network.
Yeah, but still being able to stream a podcast, however.
So that's good. As long as you can listen into the NZ Tech Podcast, Di, what else is there?
That is all you need.
Okay, now a few other bits of topics we wanted to chat through. I guess the big one is all about Samsung. Next week we've got the Samsung Galaxy S5 and the Galaxy Gear 2. Right, they're launching.
I'm going to a breakfast that may or may not be the S5. Who knows?
Well, yeah,
I don't know. It could be something out of left field. It could be the S-Tally or the S-Car.
Oh, it's kind of funny, isn't it, how they won't confirm what it is, but, you know, actually they've pretty much confirmed what it is to a point of view where you'd be 100%
Look,
sure.
I feel sorry for any company and any PR company in the age of the internet, right? because there's someone who's sitting in a factory in Korea or a factory in China who's released some photos somewhere along the line. The whole world knows, but the company and the PR company have to hold their line.
Yeah, no, no, we've got no new products coming.
No idea what.
Don't know what it would be.
But no, I must say I'm quite excited about the S5 because I definitely feel the design cues might move away from the S3 and the S4 were very similar. S4 was an iteration move off the S3, both in sort of design and software. And this is time for a new sort of dawn.
So why aren't you using a Galaxy S4? Why isn't that one of your gadgets? Is it because of the Note 3 delivers the biggest screen real estate in the stylus, and that's
I had a Note 3. Then I was using an S4 for a bit, and I must say I really missed the stylus. I had a Note 2, sorry, using S4 for a while, missed the stylus, and then got the Note 3. And for me, the Note 3 is the perfect companion device to an iPhone or a Nexus 5 or whatever, because the screen real estate is wonderful. That using two, being able to use two parts of it, having browser open and Twitter open, I find very useful. When I'm on the road, I'm in a van a lot, so I'm doing a lot of triaging emails and doing some writing in a van. Laptops, a bit ungainly. Even an iPad or a bigger tablet's a bit ungainly.
Yep.
The Note 3 definitely hits a good size. And I'll be intrigued to see whether the S5 stays at the same size. Have you heard anything?
Yeah, so I mean there's been various sort of rumors around lots of stuff. I'm not confident what the screen size is going to be. There's been talk of it being having 16 megapixel camera, screen being sort of edge to edge, full HD, or maybe a step up to a sort of a 2560 type of resolution on the screen, which is pretty phenomenal good. If that happens, because that's you look at a big screen and there aren't many monitors that display above that full HD resolution. So I'm curious what's going to happen on the software side as well.
Oh yeah, I mean, maybe something will come out to rival iMessage. Maybe there might be a messages or an SSMS. SSMS, because to be honest, I mentioned it before, iMessage is one of the few things that keeps me sort of with that big foot in the Apple camp. Cause
well, Samsung have already got their own messaging, which can run on other platforms, but it's just not in broad use.
Yeah.
Because it does, you're not sort of, I guess, you're not forced into using it, right?
Yeah, it doesn't sort of happen by default.
Yes, whereas when you're on an iPhone and within the Apple ecosystem, you send a text and it figures out actually whether it's going to deliver it over the SMS network or through iMessage, as you found out when you texted me this morning. And
I got a massive shock. I thought there's a glitch in the matrix. I'm sending an iMessage to Paul Spain. What's going on here? Because I feel bad. I knew it was time to take a step away from Apple when I was getting angry at my friends when I was sending a group message and they weren't on iMessage and they were this green thing. I went, I'm getting angry at my friends because of Apple. They're drawing me away from my social circle. I need to step out and just start using standard text messaging. But the problem is, right, I send a lot of videos. Having a one-year-old, you send a lot of videos and pointless pictures between yourself and your wife. I turn iMessage off. I'm going to go cold turkey. I'm going to go back to old school SMS. And then my, being on 2 degrees, they don't have a sort of MMS rate. So my bill, sharing everything, because my wife's flinging around pictures, I'm flinging around pictures and videos, went through the roof. So then flicked it on again because it didn't save $50 a month.
Wow. Well, that's, it's well worth considering. There is some specs out there suggesting a 5.25-inch screen.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
So for the S5. And 3 gigs of RAM plus
3 gigs of RAM.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
So yeah,
be able to play Flappy Bird on that. Let me tell you, that with 3 gigs of RAM, I'll be able to get a score higher than 3.
I'm not sure that actually will help you in your game of Flappy Bird's Die. Love it. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting as we, you know, these things sort of keep getting bigger and better, what that will actually mean for future versions of Android. You know, how much RAM will you actually need for the next version? Why are they putting 3 in there? Is that to give it a bit of future proof for 5.0, 4.5? You know, or is it just for, you know, that better multitasking and running multiple apps?
I have been reading some interesting articles on the idea of are specs redundant, and that is not necessarily at the forefront of your average consumer's mind now, because there's so many phones rolling around in the studio that we're in. They're all comparative. None of these phones you pick up, whether it be from bloody BlackBerry through to HTC through to an Apple through to Samsung, you're not going to pick up any of them and go, this is so sluggish. So now I think it's the thing of, you're definitely seeing people compete on design points, differentiation of software. Like, you know, for instance, you can see the Android ecosystem, really, to a layman, is not the Android ecosystem. You're in different, like HTC, Samsung, and Google, sort of Google, just stock Google, are very different experiences to your normal person. And they would put them down to brands rather than they're all from the same sort of mother. And whether it now is full personal preference, I like these coloured Nokia Windows phones, you know, because they have such a distinct look. Or like, I know people who just, they love the Samsung, the feel of Samsung, so they will always buy Samsung.
Well, it's got to come down to sort of the look and the experience. And if you get that right, does it matter what the spec is in behind the scene? You know, if it delivers a great, you know, you, and I had someone the other day saying, Paul, all I want is a phone that can do really, really, really good photos. That's the number one, you know, thing that they wanted in their smartphone. And I mean, they wouldn't know the technical difference between a 5 megapixel and a 20 megapixel camera, but they'd know how good the photo actually looks once they flick it up onto their TV.
Exactly.
Or it's a night shot, or it's a video, etc. You can tell that difference, and it's got to come down to those things, doesn't it?
It's like, I had got a friend who's a DJ over in and the Aussie, he's not a fully tech guy, although most DJs are, but he was looking at tablets, right? And he's a Google guy. He's an Android guy. And he was asking me about my opinion on tablets, and I was asking what he wants it for, and he says, for music creation. And I said, well, unfortunately, you're going to have to go an iPad just because of the back end in Android with latency. That you know, if your sole aim is to be creating music on this, then unfortunately that is your best bet. You're going to have to buy into that. But it's different things, and a lot of people only have that one or two use cases. You know, like most people, to be honest, if you look at how they use, like I've been staying with a lot of relatives who are on their smartphones, nieces and nephews, they literally use Facebook. Like, you could just have Facebook and an internet browser on there and the ability to text. No calls. You know, you don't need 3 gigs of RAM to use Facebook.
And you're right about the no calls. It's becoming becoming less and less. Whereas, you know, for those of us that had, you know, phones in the 90s, you know, it was, to start with, that was all they could do. So that was what you were getting it for, because you wanted to be able to make, receive calls.
I tell you, texting on my Alcatel One Touch Easy wasn't the most enjoyable experience.
Hey, they were a good cheap phone.
They were a great phone.
Nothing wrong with them. Now, just a couple of last things, sort of before we wrap up. Obviously, next week is kind of the big week in Barcelona, isn't it? So
Barcelona.
So this is where the mobile world gathers together for Mobile World Congress. So the Samsung announcement's pinned for there. Probably a bunch more. Also, Microsoft have been busy beavers behind the scenes working on their new Windows Phone 8.1, which, you know, it's coming some way behind Windows 8.1 itself.
Here's my one question with Windows 8.1.
Let's hear it.
Are they going to roll it out to every Windows phone? If you have a Windows phone, or are they going to have an absolute moose and disaster like they did last time, where they rolled it out to a few phones and then 15 months later they sort of put it on? You know, because I feel Windows Phone, I mean, you got to... You love them like your dungy cousin, you know. They're at the party. Not a lot of people talk to them, but yeah, they're really mucking in and having a good time.
Oh,
you know?
I love it.
So the thing is, they really need to, I feel, get it out to everyone, because people are on Windows Phone. I talk to developers who develop for it. I talk to people who use it. They love it. So be generous. Get it out to everyone.
Yeah, well, I think... Their system is that every phone, you know, that's got Windows Phone 8 gets the upgrades for 2 years and so on. They're sort of somewhere between where Android is and where iOS is, which those two are a long way apart in terms of updates. A lot of Android devices that just gets, you know, stuck, and I've got, you know, a few of them around here that, you know, already. Yeah, you know, they're not very old, but, you know, we're being told, oh, no, that's as far as that's going to go is Android 4.2, etc.
Yeah, I personally feel it's a moot argument, people in the Apple camp who go, oh, well, Apple, just, you get your update, mate. You want iOS 7, you've got it. That's a moot point, because Apple are dealing with one piece of hardware, right?
Exactly.
Like, and to be honest, your iPhone 4 and your iPhone 5S technically is one piece of hardware. They're operating the same bits to update.
Yeah, well, they control the whole thing. And I guess that's why Microsoft has sort of said, look, this thing's not available for just anyone. You've got to go through a process. We're going to limit the number of devices and so on. And it does mean that they can usually get those updates out pretty good with, you know, a few exclusions. But I think at this stage, every phone's had access to pretty much to all the updates, certainly in New Zealand. There's one phone I think I've heard of in the US that maybe isn't getting the very latest update. So I don't know how they're going to get around that, because they have said phones will get updates for 2 years.
And to be honest, if you do have one of these random sort of old phones that falls outside of that, I don't know how much you are searching for the update. You know, like, if you're running a phone that's 2 years out of date, you're probably not that concerned with getting notification sent on your Windows phone.
Yeah, well, if your phone's on Windows Phone 7, you're stuck anyway, because that didn't, you know, to go to 8, you needed an 8 base phone. But yeah, they've got the Action Center, which is, you know, a whole bunch of controls and so on in there. There's a whole lot of stuff basically that's leaked.
They put in the start button around back into it?
into the phone. How funny would that be? Well, actually, it used to be there. And,
it did.
The early Windows mobiles, didn't it?
Windows mobile.
Their Cortana, which is their personal assistant.
I know that's like a code name. They've got to keep with Cortana.
It's cool, isn't it?
And they've got to keep with Cortana. I mean, because I'm a Halo geek from way back. They've got to go with Cortana.
Well, they're using the same voice, I think, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
They got it voiced by the same person that did the character from the game. So from Halo. So yeah, I mean, there's lots and lots of stuff that's been leaking around that. So if you're interested in what's happening in Windows Phone, go and have a look. There's all sorts of, every few days we seem to be getting more little leaks and bits and pieces around what's happening. Podcasting support, apparently they've nailed it, and that's really, really good anywhere in the world now, which they've had some issues with in the past. So, you know, obviously of interest to anyone listening to this that's using Windows Phone. But that's probably us for this
lovely
time around, Di. Very good to catch up.
Pleasure to be back in the studio.
And so thanks everyone for listening in. Now, Di, where do we track you down online?
Track me down. I'm at Di Henwood on Twitter. I have DVD out for sale for a $10 download. Go to diespace.com.
I just love that URL.
Yeah, and you can either buy a physical copy or just get a sweet $10 download.
Cool. And Anything else sort of happening for you? A bit of tripping around the country?
Well,
we
start recording 7 days again. It goes to air this Friday night. We're recording down in Dunedin, and I was just telling you before the show, we're at 4,500 tickets so far, so we're expecting it's going to be a great crowd down there. So launching into that, and just keeping on doing sort of bits and bobs, and always got a few projects in the pipeline.
Oh, that's good. Well, we'll look forward to hearing a bit more about those next time around.